We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your South of the Border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Well, alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in Las Vegas, your gaming capital, and the South Point Studio Streaming Network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show on this Sunday. That's wrapping up another week of racing here on the Race Day Show. We also want to welcome all of you listening on our radio station, our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. Might be running around on a beautiful Sunday morning here in Las Vegas, listening to us on your car radio, so to speak. And, of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone, of course, with the apps that you can get at your app store. So you can listen to us over the KSHP app and, of course, watch and listen to us on the YouTube app and anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the show on this Sunday. Taking a look now, we are 20 days away to the Kentucky Derby. 20 days away to the Derby, less than 3 weeks to go. And the leaderboard has changed quite a bit. At the bottom of the leaderboard, all I can tell you, folks, is there's a lot of activity going on. Usually, you sit there and you say, well, maybe there's a couple of horses that defect out of it. But so far, we've had five horses defecting out of the Kentucky Derby since we started this stuff. And so taking a look quickly at the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, we go to the position that was number 16. And number 16 was Flood Zone. But Flood Zone has been declared out of the Kentucky Derby. So that left one spot open. And then several other spots, of course, Heart of Honor and Owen Almighty were out earlier. And so that bumped in quite a few other horses. So here's how it looks now. From the 16th spot now open for Flood Zone, that bumps up Flying Mohawk into the 16th spot. Grande goes into the 17th spot. Matticat Road is now 18, Built is in 19, and Neo Equus is in 20. Okay, that's the top 20 right now. Sitting right off of that is Render Judgment by Aza and Gossiger. Now, remember when we were talking about yesterday how the Lexington Stakes only had 20 points in it, no horse in that race would have enough to make the Derby field anyhow. Well, the way the defections are going, Gossiger is like third up to get into. If there's three more defections, Gossiger goes. So out of a very unusual year of defections, Gossiger has an outside chance. You never know. But John Sheriffs in Southern California is training Baeza as though he's going to make the Kentucky Derby. Now, Sheriffs said, listen, it's an awful, awkward position to be put in, that you're putting a trainer in a spot to train a horse up for a race on the first Saturday, May, in Kentucky, not knowing if the horse will get in, but that's what he's doing. He's training Baeza as a possible starter for the Kentucky Derby. But that's the way the Derby looks right now, as far as the bottom half and the horses shuffling around there. As far as the horses that are definitely in with points, etc., and intentions ongoing, that includes Burnham Square, Sandman, Journalism, Rodriguez, Tiztastic, Tappan Street, Sovereignty, Final Gambit, Cole Battle, Chunk of Gold, Citizen Bull, East Avenue, Publisher, American Promise, and River Thames, amongst those ahead of the others that we just talked about. Now, this is from the official site of the Kentucky Derby. This is how they have the leaderboard set up right now, and so we'll go with that from the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. 20 days left to go, so we'll wait and see about that. Jockey assignments are starting. Irette Ortiz Jr. was named to ride Publisher. Remember, that was the horse that was the maiden going into a stakes race at Oaklawn and had a trouble trip first time out. And then the second time he ran in the Arkansas Derby, Flavian Pratt was aboard him for both of those starts. And he finished well in the Arkansas Derby, but Flavian Pratt will not ride. Irette Ortiz Jr. has been named to ride Publisher in the Kentucky Derby. So at the moment, Flavian Pratt doesn't have a Derby mount, but you know that's not going to last. He'll find one, that's for sure, amongst the horses that are left. But right now, he's still not named anyhow on a Derby horse. And Baeza, as I said, is getting ready as if he's going to get in the race, according to trainer John Sheriffs. The other horses, of course, that are already in are taking their normal workouts in advance of the Kentucky Derby, so they'll probably have a couple of more workouts before we actually get to entering into the Kentucky Derby. Charlestown canceled last night after the fourth race. After the first race. You know, that bad weather going through the East Coast. After the first race, Charlestown canceled the rest of the races. The track was sloppy, but it was dangerously sloppy, according to the jockeys, after riding the first race. So they canceled Charlestown after the first race yesterday. Now, there's another thing that we have to talk about just for a moment. I went to the Gulfstream Park website. Jonathan Hardoon went to the Gulfstream Park website. On the Gulfstream Park website, they say today is the mandatory payoff in the Pick 6 jackpot at Gulfstream Park. Okay? That's what is posted on the Gulfstream Park website. Now, the carryover in the Gulfstream Park jackpot stands at $558,782 today. That we consider a mandatory payoff. This is a mandatory payoff in the Pick 6 jackpot today. You remember that there was a big carryover that was supposed to be given away on closing day of the championship meet, I think a couple of Sundays ago. But the weather prevented them from actually giving it away because they canceled the races because of the weather. And that, carried over to the now Royal Palm meeting. And so on the Royal Palm meeting, they decided not to do it on the first Sunday of the Royal Palm meeting. This is the second Sunday of the Royal Palm meeting, and this was the day they targeted for that big carryover. In addition, all the money has been in it since the Royal Palm meeting started. So you have $558,782. That's the carryover for the jackpot today and a mandatory payoff at Gulfstream Park, and that officially coming from the Gulfstream Park website. Let's take a look at what happened yesterday. Keeneland Racecourse. Ired Ortiz Jr. got it started in the Jose Ortiz got it started in the first race with Kenny McPeak. They teamed up to win with the favorite at $4.74. Ired, brother Ired, got his first winner of the day in the second race at Keeneland with Safi Joseph Jr. paying $4.52. A couple of quick favorites there. But when Jose came back to win his second race of the day in the third race on the card for Roger Atfield, that horse paid $39.90. And then, of course, we moved down to the final of the pick five races that also paid $19.62 and $13.92. That early pick five came back $2,744.56. All right. Then we had Manny Franco and Brad Cox get together on another favorite at $5.94. The seventh race on the card, Rich Ain came with a winner for us on the show with Big Truz, won the race with Louis Saez aboard for Brian Lynch, paying $9.44 as Rich Ang's pick on the show here yesterday. And then came the eighth race. Flavian Pratt checked in with Chad Brown with a winner, Al Jafara, paying $7.02. Then we got to the Lexington Stakes. This is the race that had 20 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. And the Lexington was won by Gossiger, who is now sitting just three spots away from getting into the Kentucky Derby with that 20 points. Gossiger ran a solid race in there for Ired Ortiz Jr., second win of the day, and for trainer Brendan Walsh, paying $10.60, outrunning Bracket Buster and Praetor. Praetor finished third in the race. If you remember on the show when we were going over the Lexington, both Jonathan Hardoon and John Lindo liked Bracket Buster as a Buster-type long shot. Well, this horse ran a magnificent race and held in there tough all the way around the course. Bracket Buster finished second in the race at 25-1. So guys that rooted out a nice long shot to get in there in the exotics for the Lexington. After that, the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley on the turf for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up, was the 10th race on the card. And Choicea wins that race for Louis Saez. That horse was on the lead most of the way and got the job done for trainer Simon Christopher, paying $15.66. Excellent Truth was second, and Canoa Beach was third. But in this race, right after the race, there was an objection filed against the winner from the second-place finisher. The stewards did not put up an inquiry sign. This was an objection made by none other than Flavian Pratt. I can tell you, I can count on one hand, since this guy came to America so many years ago, that he's ever claimed foul for any reason in any race. As a matter of fact, before the show, I was talking to Jonathan Hardoon. He said he only remembers one other time that Flavian Pratt claimed the foul, but he did this day here in the Jenny Wiley. Well, after the stewards reviewed the tapes and talked to the jockeys, there was no change. And so Choicea wins, and again, Chad Brown was denied his eighth win in the Jenny Wiley, where Excellent Truth, who did have a bad trip in the race and did have to check in the race through the stretch, finished a close second, while again Canoa Beach was third. Saez topped off his day with his third winner in the last race for Eddie Keneally, paying $12.20, and that's how it went yesterday at Keeneland. Pick five paid a little over $2,022.63. at Keeneland yesterday. Oak Lawn Park. All right. The horse of the year, Torpedo Anna, rolled in at Oak Lawn Park for the Apple Blossom yesterday, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom. Before that race, however, the rundown at Oak Lawn, Ramon Vasquez won his first race of the day for Steve Hobby, paying $25.80 in the opener. Martin Chong had a couple of winners yesterday. His first winner came in the second race at $16.80. Then you had a $23.60 winner. Vasquez came back for Jimmy DeVito, trainer Jimmy DeVito, for Jimmy DeVito's first of a couple of wins. Vasquez, winner in the fourth race, paid $8.80. That, again, for his second win of the day. So, in the fifth race, the winner there paid $5.40, and the pick five together in those first five races paid $7,112.20. Sean came back to win his second race in the sixth at $14.80, and then Eric Asmussen got together with his dad, Steve Asmussen, for their first win of the day in the seventh race with Littletown Sis paying $17.40. They came right back in the featured Count Fleet, the eighth race on the card, where Booth just ran them off their feet. Booth was challenged early. He was challenged in the middle, and he was challenged to the wire. But Booth ran the six furlongs in 1 minute 9 82/100 seconds and goes gate to wire, leading all the way under Eric Asmussen for his father, Steve. And by the way, Steve Asmussen finished second with his other son, Keith Asmussen, with Ravit, who finished second, and Anarchist finished third in the race. Big win by Booth, $2.80 as the big prohibitive favorite in that race. Ninth race was won by Touch of Glam. Brian Hernandez and Kenny McPeak together, their first win of the day because they came back with you-know-who. In the 10th race, Christian Torres got his second win of the day for Norm Cassie, paying $8.60. And then the big race, the Apple Blossom, was the 11th. And it was business as usual for Torpedo Anna, although she did not break rather well in the race. She stalked the long-shot leader, Wild About Hillary, disposed of her by just galloping by at the head of the stretch, and then Torpedo Anna just went about her business in easy fashion, pulled away, and won the Apple Blossom under Brian Hernandez for Kenny McPeak. Again, they got together for their second win of the day. She paid $2.40 and looked like cattle on the ranch and money in the bank. Finishing second was Free Like a Girl. Free Like a Girl finishing second. She was sitting there third and second most of the way behind Torpedo Anna. And then Where's My Ring finished third in the race. Now, Torpedo Anna paid $2.40. But if you bet the $2 exacta in that race, that came back $11.40. So you can see that making chicken feathers out of chicken soup with that exacta that Jonathan Ardoon suggested turned a $2.80 winner into an $11.40 payoff just by using the lock-em-up exacta that was presented on the show yesterday. Ramon Vasquez got his third win of the day in the 12th and final race for trainer Jimmy DeVito's second win, and that paid $24.80 at Oak Lawn Park. Aqueduct was sloppy, and it's going to be sloppy again today at Aqueduct. Kendrick Carmouche got his first win of the day in the second race for Linda Rice at $7.40, came back in the fourth for Bill Mott paying $6.60, and then won the eighth race for Linda Rice again, so they teamed up for two wins together. Carmouche's third win of the day, however, paying $6.50. And then Kendrick Carmouche wound up the day winning four races on the card with the ninth and final race winner for Todd Pletcher. Carmouche and Pletcher gets together and pays $20.80. Pick six at Aqueduct yesterday paid $14,085. And in the featured Top Flight stakes race yesterday, headline number wins it for Dylan Davis at $4.90 for Chad Brown, outrunning Alpine Princess, the big favorite in that race. And Electic finished third. Finally, at Gulf Spring Park yesterday, Edgar Zayas had a big day. Edgar Zayas wins his first of four races on the card yesterday in the fourth race for Brendan Walsh paying $3.40, came back in the sixth for Chad Brown paying $15 even, won the seventh paying $8.20, and then capped it off in the 10th and final race for George Weaver paying $8.80. And the pick five, the late pick five at Gulfstream, $15, $8.20, $41.40, 32-20 and 880. The pick five came back $55,122.85. Pick six yesterday at Gulfstream Park was had by more than one winner, so the jackpot didn't go, but that winner, those winners got back $38,588 and change. Big day yesterday around the country. Okay, here's the deal. It's still going to be sloppy at Aqueduct. We got a carryover, a mandatory payoff at Gulfstream and their pick six. And, of course, another great day of racing in Lexington at Keeneland. So, without any further ado, we've got our handicappers coming on. Jonathan will be back, Rich Eng, John Lindo, Jerry J from New York. And, of course, we'll take a look at some of the other happenings around the country. I want to take a quick conversation with Rich Eng about the Masters. There's going to be the end, the last round today. It's going to be an exciting finish there. So we'll be right back on the Race Day Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. As far as the weather, it's just a beautiful type spring weather getting into summertime here in Las Vegas. It's 67 degrees out, a little breeze outside. We're going to get up to 87, and we're going to be in the high 80s for the foreseeable future as far as out until probably next weekend here in Las Vegas. As far as the country is concerned, you know, there's remnants left of all of those storms that went through in the northeast. As I say, the track at Aqueduct is still labeled sloppy. We'll wait and find out in just a few moments from Jonathan if it's still raining there in New York. But the rest of the country looks pretty clear. And as far as the temperatures are concerned, Miami will be 80 degrees today. New York will be 59. And then you got Chicago at 62. Phoenix, Arizona will be 95 degrees. And Southern California, 75, but there's no racing there. Will be next weekend, but for now, Santa Anita's on their break before the Hollywood meet starts there. All right, let's get started with the racing menu of racetracks available today in the racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. And so just want to remind you that if you're not in the Pacific time zone, adjust to it from whatever time zone you're in. These will be the first post times that roll out in our racebook here at the South Point today. We begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park has nine races. Their first post time is at 9:10. 9:10 at Laurel. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $4,261. 9:10 first post at Laurel. Tampa Bay Downs has a pick six jackpot carryover of $7,974. They have nine races, and their first post time is at 9:25. Then we get to Gulfstream Park. Mandatory payoff today in the pick six carryover. No jackpot provision. The best tickets are going to chop up everything. What's in there now and what's going to be bet into it, getting to it, okay? The jackpot carryover, $558,782, will be added to all the money that's going to be pushed in today in the pick six. Now, they got 10 races at Gulfstream today, so the pick six will start in the fifth race. And first post time at Gulfstream Park is at 9:50 a.m. there. Keeneland Racecourse. We'll kick in with nine races today. Their feature race is the Giants Causeway Stakes at 5.5 furlongs on the turf for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. 10 are in the race before any scratches, and the 9-5 favorite there is Future Is Now. Future Is Now with Paco Lopez aboard. is the favorite in the Giants Causeway. 9 races at Keeneland and a first post time at Keeneland today of 10 a.m. 10 a.m. first post at Keeneland. Then we go to the Big A Aqueduct in New York. Well, you know, it might be the rain might be gone. I don't know, but I can tell you this. It's cloudy, 44 degrees. Track will be labeled sloppy to start out the races today. But, you know, if it's going to be breezy there, the track might be upgraded before the day is out. Anyhow, it's going to start off as sloppy. First race post time is at 10:10. Aqueduct has a couple of New York Stallion Series stakes races at $200,000 a copy. The Times Square division for the three-year-olds will be the second race on the card at 6.5 furlongs. Just a field of five. The 8-5 co-choices there. The morning line has 2 8-5 shots. That's very unusual. And that is National Identity and Prince Valiant, both sitting in there at, I'll take that back. National Identity is 6-5. And Prince Valiant is 8-5. We have a glare going on here on the paper. So National Identity is 6-5. Prince Valiant, 8-5. And then we get to the Park Avenue division. That's for the two-year-old fillies at 6.5 furlongs. Also, that'll be the eighth and final race on the card. 10 go to the post in that one. And the favorite there is Lukewarm at 7-2. And that is Bam's Bliss Kiss. Bam's Bliss Kiss is the favorite in that one. First post time at Aqueduct is at 10:10. Oaklawn Park has 9 races today. Their first post time is at 10:20. 10:20 at Oaklawn Park. Hawthorne Racecourse has 8 races. Hawthorne Racecourse has a small pick 6 carryover. And this is a regular pick 6 carryover. $1,264. 8 races. First post time is at 12:40. And we wrap it up in Southern California at Los Alamitos. Los Alamitos has a first post time today at 5:30. There'll be 2 thoroughbred races, 4 mixed breed races, and 3 quarter horse races of the 9 race card at Los Al. And again, first post time is at 5:30 at Los Alamitos. All right, I want to bring in Jonathan Hardoon right now. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm fine. I do want to address one small thing that came to our attention yesterday. We invite everybody to chat on the chat box, and all you have to do is to get on the chat box is go to our page, submit, and then you're off and talking about stuff. But we want to remind everybody out there that the chat box is reserved for your thoughts about horse racing, good, bad, ugly, nice, no matter what, history or whatever. It's on the horse racing, not on politics, not on religion. We know that everybody has their own beliefs, both in politics and religion. But that's not what the chat box is about, and that's not what this show is about. We want everybody to believe in something, obviously, and certainly, you know, whatever you believe is fine with us. We're here to talk about horse racing, good, bad, and ugly, okay? So keep that in mind when you're doing the chat, okay? For example, today is Palm Sunday, so for all the Catholics out there, we, you know, observe Palm Sunday. And, of course, Jonathan, for the Jewish people, it's Passover, right?
Correct. Happy Passover to everybody celebrating, and obviously happy Palm Sunday to everybody celebrating. And you make the correct point, Ralph. This room is, you know, for fun. It really is. People come in here, they enjoy it. They have camaraderie with other people that join the chat room every day. And it's really been terrific since we started it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, obviously, we hit a little bump in the road, but hopefully people will learn from that and just do the right thing. This is for horse racing. You want to pile on the handicappers, feel free to do so.
Yeah, yes. You know, we could take a punch. That's okay, because we try hard. These are good handicappers. We know they work hard for it. And they have produced a lot of good winners for us, along with a few patches of lull, like maybe this week along the way. But that's what this show is all about. So for all of you, as far as religious is concerned, look, there's enough God out there for everybody. Trust me. All right. Now let's get started with some horse racing. What did you see yesterday? Did you think that race should have been a disqualification to Jenny Wiley?
Absolutely. But
really?
What's really embarrassing is that the stewards didn't even claim a foul. I mean, it had to come from Pratt. And, Ralph, you made a great point. This is a clean rider. This guy never complains. If he gives a bad ride, he admits it. If he has trouble, he admits it. If he's going to claim a foul, there was definitely a foul. And if you read the charts, it says that the horse was cut off, forced to check, ducked inside, and was coming again late.
Is that what the chart says?
Yeah, we'll read the chart.
Man. That's a lot of trouble.
They basically indicted the stewards there. And if you read the chart, go back and read the chart.
All right. A couple of things. One, all of that that you just read out was not all caused by the horse that won the race. That not all of that was caused. Some of it at the end was,
but not all of it. Came over and he shut off the path of the one horse
at the end. That's the last.
Yeah, well, that's when it happened.
I understand that, but I mean that chart says that this horse was in a few problems before that happened. Secondly, I want to remind everybody that Luis Saez is not a dirty rider either. He's a clean rider too. I just don't understand.
You know, it happens. It happens. The horse drifted, and Pratt went for the split. Uh-huh. The hole closed, but the Saez horse was coming over. Listen, it's my opinion, and I had no dog in the fight. I liked a different horse that didn't run a step, but that's besides the point.
Go ahead, say dog, and you get your dog excited. Get your dog excited. You say dog, and right away he thinks there's some enemy there. Don't use the word dog. In any case, the only thing that concerned me, the only thing that really raised the red flag is, we know that Flavien Prat doesn't claim fouls. So when it said an objection, the first thought in your mind was, well, what were the stewards looking at? Should have been an inquiry before a guy like Flavien Prat asks for an objection.
That's the sad news. And not only that, Ralph, it didn't happen in a point in the race that it happened right in front of everybody. It happened at the 16th pole or wherever it was. So nobody could have missed that if they were watching. But I have no idea what the stewards were doing.
I got to tell you, I don't take anything away from the winner, though. That horse was on the lead most of the way and did a great job. And as far as the Lexington, we kept talking all week about how the Lexington, the 20 points ain't going to mean anything about it. With the way the defections are happening here, Gossiger is now on the dance floor. He's got a shot.
Amazing. And McCarthy had to be extremely disappointed in Bullard's effort. He just never showed up. Everyone thought the horse being at a gun runner and stretching out and everything else, he would run much better. That unfortunately wasn't the case for him. And, that back to the drawing board, I guess. That's what happens with a lot of these young horses. You build up hope and expectations, and just like that, boom, you get disappointed.
Well, that's the time. This is the time of year with the three-year-olds, and that's why it's so exciting with three-year-olds. They can progress and regress overnight.
And regress, exactly.
In from race to race. I mean, it could be dramatic at times, and I guess
see it.
Yeah,
you see it all the time. Look at East Avenue. He rebounded. We thought he was done after the horrible performance two starts back, and he came back and ran his eyeballs out in the Bluegrass the other day. So you never know.
Well, and you go back way back to like the Saratoga meeting last year when the 2-year-olds, the expensive, well-bred 2-year-olds were starting to race, and you think to yourself, well, maybe am I seeing or the early stages of a horse that may make the Kentucky Derby. And everybody was so gaga about Ferocious, a horse called Ferocious. Well, that horse didn't even make it. He passed away.
I was just going to tell you, we never even talked about it on the show, but a few days ago, he passed away from laminitis. And anybody that watched his first performance at Saratoga when he was breaking from the rail that you were gaga over.
I thought his stride was great. I thought his stride was great. And you want to know something? That he had several races after that he regressed. And so it was one of those things where you say, okay, well, I saw something that he did not build upon. But, he passed away from laminitis a couple of days ago. So this has been a really unusual year for three-year-olds. Yet when we get to the Kentucky Derby, whatever the 20 horses in there are going to be, it's going to be a competitive and exciting race because there's no real standout in this Kentucky Derby.
And post position, like we always say every year, has a lot to do with it. But this year, it really has a lot to do with it. So I'm interested to see how things will fall.
Well, 20 days to go until the Derby and a whole lot of action going on here in Las Vegas. And you're going to be all part of it here at the South Point because we're going to start off on Wednesday, the 30th of April, with their special Kentucky Derby preview show that features you, John, and our other handicappers here. We got a lot of guest handicappers. That show will be only on the YouTube streaming network, the South Point YouTube streaming network. It'll be on Wednesday, April 30th at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Mark it down. We're going to have a lot of fun there. And then, of course, on Friday, Kentucky Oaks Day, just before the Derby, on that Friday, the Kentucky Derby Seminar at the Grandview Lounge, adjacent to the Racebook at 6 p.m., following the Kentucky Oaks card and Southern California Racing with you and John Lindo. And then we're all going to be upstairs in the exhibit hall for the big, big Kentucky Derby party on Derby Day, of course, Saturday, May 2nd. I should say Saturday, May 2nd. No, Saturday, May 3rd. I should say Saturday, May 3rd. That'll be, of course, the Kentucky Derby. First Saturday in May. Everybody knows what it is. Date doesn't matter. And we'll be there at the exhibit hall with the big banquet tables and all the goody stuff happening, big screen TVs, betting windows, kiosks, food and beverage discounts. Bring out your friends and wear your best hat, because they're going to have a hat contest as well featuring cash prizes. A lot of good stuff happening there. It's all free here at the South Point. All right, John.
And they put on a heck of, South Point puts on a heck of a show, Ralph. And like you said, you can't beat the prices. It's free. So yeah, Nothing's better than that. And we enjoy doing it. I know I'm speaking for both John and you, but we have a good time. Yeah. People seem to like it. We stick around. We answer questions, whatever anyone has.
Yeah. And we'd love you to come on out and participate as well. It might be, you know, like our version of a live chat box. So in any case, let's get some winners on this Sunday.
Yeah, let's turn things around here, Ralph. Seconds. Let's get some winners today. We begin at Aqueduct Eighth Race. By the way, it is overcast. The rain finally stopped. The track is off, but it rained so much in the last 3 days. I'm sure it's going to remain off most of the day. Okay. Anyway, eighth race today, 6.5 furlongs on the main track. I like the number one horse in here, Bam's Bliss Kiss. This is a three-year-old filly from the David Duggan barn. Both races as a three-year-old, good enough to get the job done here. The horse is 2-for-2 at the distance, 2-for-5 at Aqueduct. Louis Rivera aboard to ride. Number one, Bam's Bliss Kiss, wins today's eighth race out at Aqueduct.
And it's the eighth and final race on the card, the New York Stallion Series Park Avenue Division. And you like the one, Bam's Bliss Kiss, the one in the eighth and final at Aqueduct. And where are we going next?
Let's go to Gulfstream, look at race number 5, the first leg of that mandatory Rainbow Pick 6. And I like the number 5 horse in here, Carnane. Carnane's a 4-year-old filly who makes her second start for trainer Carlos Navarez, who's having a terrific year. This horse also goes back to the turf today where she really runs well. She's listed at 6-1 on the morning line. Rajiv Marah aboard to ride. I like number 5, Carnane, to win today's fifth race out at Gulfstream.
All right, fifth race at Gulfstream, the 5 Carnane, the 5 and the fifth race, and that is, of course, the start of the pick 6, so maybe we got a singleton there on the way to the pick 6 with that mandatory payoff. The 5 in the fifth, easy to remember there. Let's wrap it up at Keeneland.
Okay, let's go to Keeneland and look at race number 7, and I like the number 10 horse in here, Easy Red. Easy Red is a 4-year-old filly from the Eddie Keneally barn. This train is off to a terrific start, Ralph. He's 3-for-7 at the meet. This horse is listed at 8-1 on the morning line. Number 10, Easy Red, ridden by Luis Saez, wins today's 7th race out of Keeneland.
Your man Luis Saez aboard in the 7th race, the 10 horse. Easy Red, the 10, in the 7th race at Keeneland. Don't forget, Jonathan has 4 full sheets of handicapping. Oaklawn, in addition to Keeneland, Aqueduct, and at Gulfstream Park with that mandatory payoff. And say hi to your dog for us and feed him.
I'm dog sitting.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you, Ralph.
You got it. All right. You got it, Jonathan. Okay. We're back with more, like Rich Eng coming up next. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village, this beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music. And if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show. Every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Sunday. And by the way, we got a comment from one of our chat box people that said, I'm sitting at a blackjack table. This is actually the set that was upstairs in the one, the studio that was between the race book and the sports book. So it's the same set, but it is replicating a blackjack table. So good call there. Let's get out to Rich Eng standing by, because Richie, I can tell you right now, the Masters today is going to be one heck of a finish, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
I got to tell you, McIlroy, of course, is up now by two strokes over DeChambeau. But all I can say is, and they will be the last pairing, obviously, as it always is in the last day of the Masters. But you got to think that in the back of his mind, McEnroe's got to be thinking about 2011, when he had a four-stroke lead going into the final and blew it in the Masters. So this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, in a tournament like the Masters, there have been some phenomenal collapses down the stretch by some big name golfers. So it doesn't happen just to little guys.
No.
It can happen to big guys too. And I saw a stat, Ralph, on the Golf Channel saying that going into the last round, the last 8 years, the winner of the Masters has been either the leader or a golfer within two strokes of the lead. So only two golfers qualify for that. It's Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau. But I tell you what, the trends are meant to be broken from time to time. I sprinkled a little saver money on some of the golfers underneath Patrick Reed, Ludwig Åberg, and Scottie Scheffler, because their odds are off for like 40, 50, 60 to 1, even though they're about, six strokes off the lead. You can make up six strokes at the Masters really fast because of the way the course is so testing.
Well, I think McEnroe, didn't he have like several birdies yesterday? I mean, he had quite a few, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he's had a great tournament. The first rounds were a little shaky, but second and third rounds have been great. 12 under and 10 under are great scores for McIlroy and DeChambeau. And, the way these golf tournaments are, it's fantastic, the fact that these two are in the same last pairing. So you talk about eyeball-to-eyeball competition. They may be friends off the course, but on the course, they're mortal enemies, and they're going to be trying to, eyeball each other and stare each other down, stuff like that. But whoever makes the best shots down the stretch is going to win the Masters.
Psychological is a big part of this as well, that's for sure. Well, a nice win yesterday, Richie, at Keeneland yesterday, and a solid win, too, at $9 and change.
Yeah, he got bet down with 6-1 in the morning line, but my angle of Luis Saez taking off a Brad Cox horse, who was the morning line favorite, to ride for Brian Lynch, who's one of his, main trainers down at Gulfstream Park. And you could tell the horse was getting bet. And I love the fact that Big Truz, the name of Big Truz on TVG, they said that was the nickname for Lamar Jackson, quarterback at the University of Louisville. So that's where that name came from.
Well, let's find another name that can get us in the winner's circle today.
Well, I tell you what, let's go to the stakes race, race number 8, which is the Giants Causeway, Ralph. Then the big favorite is number 4, Future Is Now. But I think an interesting price play. Christophe Clément has an uncoupled entry in the race, and obviously he's a terrific trainer.
Yeah.
But a horse that he just took over the training of is number 6, Dance Macabre, Joel Rosario riding. Square price, 8-1. This horse, if you just draw a line through the last race, you see the resume is very, very strong at this caliber, Ralph. I think this is a great price coming off the layoff, first time for the trainer Clément. Number 6, Dance Macabre in the 8th.
All right, 8th race, you like the 6th horse in that 8th race. Sometimes I wonder how they name these stakes races, because Giant's Causeway, the horse, was a marathon horse, and it was a male, and this is a sprint for fillies and mares. So I don't know how that happened. But
you know, once in a while you'll see a turf stakes named for a dirt horse, or a dirt stakes named for a turf horse. You see that once in a while.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't have any place to honor the horse, so he gets his stakes race today. But in the eighth race, no matter what, you like the Dance McCabe, the six horse, in the eighth at Keeneland. Don't forget, folks, Rich has got a full sheet of Keeneland handicapping today at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. Have a pleasant Sunday. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we wrap up this Sunday show, the final show of this week for Race Day Las Vegas, right after this final break, and we got John and Jerry standing by.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Alrighty, back on Race Day Las Vegas, now out to Southern California, where John Lindo is standing by. And John, I got to tell you, I think the racing fans in Southern California are jonesing for some live racing action, buddy.
Well, I think we entered today for Friday when we resume racing at Santa Anita with the quote-unquote Hollywood meet. So we'll have some racing here soon enough, but we've got enough going on between the Masters Sunday and some good racing around the country. And, you know, we got some baseball going. You're in the right place, Ralph. There's a lot of action there in that sports book right next to the race book.
Oh, you better believe it, my man. That's for sure. Hey, looking at ahead to next week, talking about Santa Anita coming back, what's the Lender Report schedule for next week?
Well, next week I'll do Keeneland every day, which is Wednesday through Saturday. They don't race on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I will do Santa Anita the 3 days when they come back, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Keeneland, Wednesday through Saturday, Santa Anita, Friday through Sunday.
Well, it was interesting to see that John Sheriff has got his mindset that he's training Baeza there in Southern California as if he's going to make it into the Kentucky Derby field. And I guess when you're on the cusp like that, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, you really don't have a choice. You have to do it that way if you want to try and get in, and there's a possibility, and there is. But he'll, you know, he's got a deadline because the horses have to be on the grounds at Churchill Downs on Saturday, the 26th of April. So I think the flight from California leaves on the 24th. If he's not on that, then obviously he won't be there in case he draws in. So something's got to happen between now and April the 24th.
Well, I know that the horses in Southern California that will be making that flight and are already in the body of the field are making their final preparations over these last two weekends, right?
Right. And, you know, Matacat Road got into the race yesterday. So Bob Baffert has another runner in the race now. So they're planning to run. So that's three for that ownership group, Citizen Bull and Matacat Road. And I don't know, was it Rodriguez the other one? I don't remember.
Yeah, Rodriguez is also qualified to go that and winning he won the Wood, right?
The Wood,
yeah,
yes.
Sure. Okay, well, your observations of handicapping and betting Keeneland.
It's fun. The only what does it take for the stewards to light the inquiry sign there? I mean, the eighth race yesterday, you had a filly that, what was her name? Burning Pine, that bolted on the turn, scattered the field. No inquiry there. Jose Ortiz lost the irons on Anel, the horse he was riding.
Uh-huh.
In that eighth race, whether you have a disqualification or not, you at least have to let the public know you're taking a look at it.
Well, you got
to
hang the sign, yeah.
Yeah, at least let them know you're looking. And they'll never light the inquiry sign in the Kentucky Derby unless somebody gets run over. So
yeah.
It's just amazing the differences in the protocols between California and Kentucky.
Well, it's an interesting day again today at Keeneland, and you have a Linda report covering all the races today at Keeneland, plus a suggested late pick four, and that Linda report with all the full Linda report with all the goody information as well is available here at the South Point Racebook free of charge, the only place in Las Vegas you can get the Linda report complimentary here at the South Point Racebook because they love horse players here. Hey, John, let's get a winner.
Let's go to race number three and try a long shot here. This is a trainer pattern play, number 7, S-Mark. Trainer Vicky Oliver points to Keeneland every year. She brought back Bracket Buster, who ran a big one yesterday in the Lexington. S-Mark ran very well down at Kentucky Downs in her only start, galloped out in front of the field in the sprint. She wants to route. She's trained steadily down in Florida. Shows up here at Keeneland for the race, Johnny Velasquez. 15-1 on the morning line. I think a live long shot. Number 7, S-Mark, race 3 at Keeneland.
Ooh, yeah, I like the odds on that one. Third race, a maiden race on the turf. You like the 7 S-Mark for that angle that you have. And by the way, you and Jonathan both come up with that nice 25-1 shot that ran second in the Lexington with the same type of philosophy. So in this third race, the 7 S-Mark is your play for the day. A nice little long shot there. And want to remind everybody that the rest of the Linda Report here at the South Point. Well, John, enjoy the Masters, enjoy baseball, enjoy your Sunday, and get back to work because we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
You got it, Ralph. Have fun today. Good luck.
You got it, my man. Now we're going to wrap it up with Jerry Jackowitz standing by somewhere in the Big Apple. Jerry, good morning.
Yeah, just about 4 or 5 miles to the west of Aqueduct Raceway. I'm very close right now. I could almost touch it.
Well,
I didn't know John was a fan of golf.
Oh, yeah. John, well, we all are, especially when you get the matchup that we're going to get today with McIlroy and DeChambeau.
DeChambeau and McIlroy.
Yeah. That's going to be a heck of a match. And you know what's in the back of the head of McIlroy, so we won't go into that. But I hope he gets finally his green jacket.
A lot of wounds.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And I'm sure you'll be watching.
Self-inflicted.
I'm sure that you'll be watching it as well because you love the game of golf and very good at it, I might add. Jerry, Aqueduct was really sloppy yesterday. They say the track's going to start out in sloppy conditions today, but with the rain now out of there, et cetera, it'll probably dry out pretty quick, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think by the back of the card, it'll be listed as good and maybe even fast, but probably good by the end of the card. So.
All right, what are
we going to do? It's one of those changing tracks, and, you know, everybody has to adjust for it. So,
well, I know that you have adjusted for it with the P's and the M's and all that other good stuff on your sheet. So, what are we doing today at Aqueduct?
All right, we're going to go to race number 8 for our play. Bam's Bliss Kiss, the one horse from David Duggan's barn. 7-2 seems like a really, really fair price for this filly, and she's clearly getting some improvement. This is the third race in her cycle. Both races are excellent, but the last race actually looks like she won, doing less work than she did in her first race. It's a line I absolutely love. So I'm about to 8-5, I think, here on the one horse. But I think we'll get probably 2-1 or better.
Okay.
I'll take the one over the 4, 5, 6, 8. Reverse is just really to break even. This is mostly a win bet to me. And it's Bam's Bliss Kiss, race number 8, number 1.
All right. You and Jonathan both land on the same horse. So it's the Good Housekeeping Handicapper Seal of Approval in the 8th race, the Park Avenue Division of the New York State Stallion Series. You like the one. Bam's Bliss Kiss. Your link ups are 4, 5, 6, and 8. Just enough, just a little for reverse, but mostly on the win end with the one, Bam's Bliss Kiss. And of course, Jerry J's Power Pages for all the races today at Aqueduct, available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. Got about 5 seconds before we ask you to sign off. Who wins the Masters?
I'm going to say DeChambeau.
Okay, you got it. And we wrap up this Sunday again, wishing everybody, whatever you believe in, a wonderful day and a beautiful Sunday for you. We'll be back on Wednesday. You can go ahead and say it now, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody. That was a negative route to help Rory.